Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, rain with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, south and the North Sea.
How many of you people out there have been hurt in some kind of love affair? But how many times do you swear that you'd never love again? How many lonely sleepless nights? How many lies, how many fights, and why would you want to put yourself through all that again? Love is pain, I hear you say. Love is a cruel and bitter way of paying you back for all the faith you ever had in your brain. Could it be what you need the most? To leave you feeling just like a ghost? You'll never feel so sad and lost again. One day you could be looking through an old book in rainy weather. You see a picture of her smiling at you when you were still together. You could be walking down the street and should your chance to meet by that same old smile you've been thinking of all day. Why don't we turn the clock to zero, honey? We'll stay on the side. We'll spend the money. We'll start a brand new day. Turn the clock on.
song with her again. I'm in a good mood. I'm in a real good mood. I'm in a blessed mood. I told y'all I love Christmas. You know, I've been out and doing things, and people say, oh, my God, you look so good. You're just glowing. I feel good. I told them every Christian should be smiling, running around here feeling good, and I've been studying more and doing everything and just feeling better. At 7 o'clock, I'm going to have my pastor on. And Cliff, I'm going to leave your butt on the line till 10 o'clock tonight. So you're the first one up there. I'm going to have your butt because I ain't putting up with your mess now. But anyway, I just want to say Merry Christmas, Cliff. But Christmas, we should be feeling good. I was telling my pastor last night, and by the way, he'll be on at 7 this morning. We're going to have a good time. Y'all want to talk to him and all. That you know that something, I've always believed about the virgin birth, and I always believed that Jesus was born through Mary. But there's a difference from believing when it click and you understand it. It was a good feeling, y'all. But I'll talk to y'all about that later. That's not what I'm talking about. I got some stuff to deal with this morning with y'all because we are in a crisis here and I can't overlook it. Okay, y'all. For the first time in my lifetime, I told y'all that the black community was in a sea, sailing without a sail. And that goes for all. It is the first time there's not a clarion call for our people that we can grab and hold on to. And they hungry and they want it. But it's the first time that as a people, we don't have it. Now, there's something said about post-traumatic slavery syndrome. I did a whole thing on that once, y'all, but I'm going to deal with that doing Black History Month, something y'all can clearly understand. The fear, subconscious fear, that a lot of black leaders and black folks are in. They pretend it's for the greater good that they want to help, but it's really they scared. And they have a plantation mentality. You know, when Harold Washington said that, he said that it was dead, he stomped on the grave, he should have sealed that sucker. But we're in a state of not just plantation politics, but plantation period. And some of y'all might know, and a lot of our children don't know, we might need to get some of the seasoned people in a round table doing Black History Month. But it used to be a time that black folks were really scared to look white folks in the eyes. And I'm not talking from this position that these folks want to talk about black and white all the time because that keeps them up. And we were scared to go do certain things, but God always gave us something and somebody to come on, because God said, I will send you a comforter and a comfort, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said that to his disciples, and he was saying to us too. But it's easy for folks who accept this BS that's going on in the name of humanity than to stand up to it. Now, we have a crisis. I saw that Urban, he didn't pass the law and about these, and I wish y'all stop calling them migrants, because that legitimizes them. They're illegal immigrants. They're here illegal, and they're bullying us. And they're bullying you. Last week, we had Winter Wonderland, where we gave our toys from the Harold Washington Culture Center. All of the partners in Harold Washington, like Dorothy Steenkamp, Braille, everybody come together, and they have fun, and they dance and stuff, the Happy Club, and they gave toys out. Now, everybody was in line having a good time. This one woman, she better be glad I wasn't there. It was really almost got to be something, but they handled it without me coming down there. This woman kept getting in line, getting toys. And they said, can't have any more. And she's going to follow my daughter up on the stage trying, I'm me from Venezuela. I want that one right there. I don't want that me. Give me. Give me, me, me. That's a bullying attitude. Well, you know Miss Ebony was there. So she handled it. I didn't have to come. And the community was kind of, little. Some people there was very upset. Because it was other children there, and they was following the rules. But she told the people, the young lady passing out the stuff, polar thing. Me from Venezuela, me want that. You give me that now. That's a very, very bully attitude. But, well, I guess if you violate the law to come here, you do everything you want, and then people say, come on, oh, we got to do this, do that. Well, you feel like you empowered. Now, I was told that they see she was sitting there with a brand new iPhone. And I know a couple of folks was trying to keep their phones on. They had just got their phone cut off and need some more phones. Now, let me go on down a little bit. Because, see, with all due respect, because I did have my granddaughter graduated from De La Salle, which was a very good school. And what I have to say about these folks have nothing to do with people like the things that. But I know Father Blake is putting them over there, too. But they have nothing to do with him, people who've done good things, because he's done good things. They have nothing to do with none of those folks or any of the other Catholic people. But they're making so much money. They finished Corpus Christi. They're putting them over there. They're going to put them at St. Elizabeth. That ain't got nothing to do with no godly stuff. That got to do with some foolishness, y'all. Wherever you are in the country, it's foolishness. You're being messed up. One thing Mark said yesterday, and I'm going to get it. I read some Mark. Mark said, Chicago going to be like Minnesota, and I'll tell y'all about that later. But what's going on is a disgrace, and I think every one of these mayors, and I don't mean going trying to be no star, and all of these elected officials should take their butts down and look. And I was very disturbed this morning, and I was disturbed too, and all due respect to our mayor, because I'm going to respect the seat. He blamed the governor of Texas for the illegal immigration. Y'all call them migrants. Because they scared to blame Biden. Biden and Kamala and all of them said, come. And she's still saying, being open. I have family and friends in Arizona who are scared to come out. And you know a lot of business folks from Chicago who I know moved to Arizona. They overwhelmed with the open border. They got, y'all need to look at Fox and you need to look at Newsmax to see them folks coming across the border because they're doing over. I mean, they're coming and demanding. Now, y'all, these cities, the ranches and stuff losing their stuff. It's really a disgrace. This girl, there was one girl, a girl 16 years old down there. An illegal immigrant killed her, raped her, and cut up, left in the bathtub. Got mad and stole everything in the house. Now, look, all folks are not bad. But I got a problem here, y'all, and I got a problem with especially any black folks joining this bull. I got a real, real problem because I don't think y'all really understand. You are participating in your demise. Now, before I go there, let me go to the biblical piece. Jesus said, they said, what do we do to Caesar? Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. So what does that mean? There's a legal way to come across the border. You want to come? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar. You don't have no right. They even found they had mines and stuff. You don't have no right to push through and demand. I mean, they're demanding more than you from the people that you elected. It's funny. I think the best way to solve this mess, Irvin, I saw him on TV this morning. All of them. Johnson, pricks to all y'all. Bring the done judge, the people who are going to do the asylum judges send them home. Trump said he gonna load them up, he gonna send them, and y'all so busy hating him and hating everything going on that you'll participate in the demise of the black community. That's why I took note at what Mark said. Now let me explain this to y'all, and I want y'all to hear. I'm not taking a break. I'm gonna talk to y'all for about 10 minutes. 15 minutes before I go off to see what you think, because 7 o'clock got to pass. But I got to deal with this. Black folks, everything that we fought for, that we suffered for, y'all need to look. See, there's a book called Without Sanctuary. That's why everything we got, they use. Sanctuary, Dreamers, Doctor, and all that. In this country, if you look at all of the things that we did, the schools we built, and all the people that was involved. Even they tell you, tear down Teddy Roosevelt. Without Teddy Roosevelt, there would be no Tuskegee. So they're not just wiping out so-called racists. Who are they to come over here and join forces and black folks with them? Oh, we got to get rid of them. They defaced Lincoln Memorial. They had no right to do that. They don't have a right. But that was on something else. That was them other folks out there being crazy. But as I told you, they're tearing out our markers because they want to make it look like we don't exist. It ain't got nothing to do with trying to befriend us. I want y'all to be very clear. It's a replacement. I think every congressperson, all of them, none of our congresspeople in the black community across this country have spoken up for us. Take your butt to the board and say it's wrong. It is wrong, but you got people like Talib Kalib and all this girl in Minnesota, they're speaking up for their community. They have no business in office, first of all, but since they're there, who are they working on behalf of their community? Now, y'all know that I've spent time in Minnesota, and if you look at my book, you'll see where I had a whole group up that I worked with, and black folks were very active in Minnesota. And I told them, because America had sympathy, bringing the Somalians in, polar things, and rather than, you know, I might find that snake and pick it up another day. I got this Oscar Brown Jr. snake. But I said, y'all have to be careful. or they befriended them. I brought them to their house, just working with them. One of the young ladies who I talked to, who's very active, and she said, Alderman? I said, yes. You remember you told us a few years ago that we had to solidify? I said, mm-hmm. She said, most of your businesses are owned by them, and their leadership is leading them away from us. It ain't all of the people who are here, and I'm not a broad brush with them. But did y'all see? To leave them to take down the city flag in Minnesota and put up one similar in Somalia? How the hell? Are you like that so much? Go home. They didn't let you do nothing. You can't come. You're going to, that's almost like, damn, they do that. And they tell you, as much as I love LeBron, don't stand on the national anthem. And the black folks just clapping the silly butt, not understanding that this is your country. There's no other country in the world that LeBron could have grew up being poor and become a billionaire like that, because we have a capitalist country. You stand. This is your flag. Y'all don't understand. You have no other flag to stand under for a country. I'm not telling you about your other stuff. This is your country. And they laughing at us. Why are they laughing at us? Because they're going in. They're learning the Constitution. They learning the article. All that, they're learning everything it is to use and to be the American citizen, take over to use what we've done. And they study our pain. And we got out there, and some of our kids look so ugly out there running around. And it's our fault. The older people have put the wrong information to our children. And now they're running around. Now, this is, I'm trying to get so much in, because at the 7 o'clock hour, I'm getting into my Jesus. I'm into it all the time. But we're going to do talk about Christmas, which is very important to have an understanding. Why Christmas? Why the nativity? Why is this important for our community? We got to deal with it, because if you look at the history, we didn't have one leader that led us out of this mess that did not believe in God. So in order to get out of it, we got to go to the source. But I'm going to come back in a minute. So we used to take care of the country. When you look at Mirabel Clyde Bethune building a school, or you look at all these other folks, you know, when you look at Martin Delaney, or you look at all of these folks, Major. I mean, I'm looking at, y'all need to get Jimmy's book in order for Christmas. All these different folks who did something, who built schools. The churches wasn't punks. Hospitals and schools. And they partnered with other Europeans. Now, see, you got two sets of whites, and they got y'all mad at the wrong set. The set that built the country will die for the country, because that's the white Anglo-Saxon. The rest of them. And I was talking to a friend of mine. She's real close to me. And her parents escaped the water, came over here. Her parents came to America. And since then, her parents went on to get rich, and she rich and all the other stuff. But you hate America. Why you hate us when you don't hate the place that you ran from? And you'll notice that most of these folks don't even talk about those places. They revere those places. When you revere them, go home. I know I sound like something. I'm sorry. And why are you dying to get here and doing all that? And they got the Negro saying, I don't want to marry. Where are you going? So in the interim, while you're doing that, it's very important. Dr. Anderson told us when I first brought him here that we're going to be the 15th, not the second class, but the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, all that. Because these folks are very mean. And they're not going to look out for you than your loving heart looking out for them. Now, what do I say about us used to take care of America? We did it all. We did the cleaning. You know, we worked. Human service was started from the poverty program, because we fought, and it went from human service to a lot of model citizens. And that was a government in Chicago and across this country that blacks worked in. And I fought very hard when they moved the Human Service of Strategic Court and put it up. I said, y'all messing up. So now you don't have that many black folks in the service interest of government. Martinez, she running. Didn't nobody run against her. Black folks called me. She getting rid of all of us. I said, want to talk about it? No. Why you don't want to talk about it? Well, you know. I said, no, I don't know. Don't tell me about it. Then give me the information. Why are you scared to talk about somebody hurting you? So don't tell me, because maybe it's a lie. I don't know. But they're getting in all of the positions of power, be it elected government, where they work and they fight and they set the agenda, and this be it taking care of government, whatever it takes to keep this country moving, miseducate our children, keep this country moving. All the stuff we did, and a lot of y'all was able to be middle class and send y'all children to school because of those things. I hate the police. Don't go in the police force. Now you call the police, that's guess what they got you saying. You call the police, the captain that's going to come, or the sergeant is going to be Chinese or Hispanic in the black community. Why? Because you told black folks don't become police officers. How are we going to have community police if we don't have no police officers? All your service industry, they're taking care of all of that. Now, I can't blame them folks, but our people are helping it in the minds. So they get in all the places, and I look at our next generation. So they unionize with all this stuff, so they got in place, which means they're going to retire with pensions, and your folks ain't going to have nothing, which you're going to pay for. We're in trouble. We're in a pickle here. We almost don't have our community, everybody getting dumped off. And y'all think it's unchristian to question this. No, it's not. We shouldn't have to do it anyway. We got representation. And they understand that we are a republic, representative government. They don't know all this other mess y'all got. That's why these other TV stations, that's a shame. That's all they talk about. Hate Trump. Trump is responsible for the border. They need their butt kicked. Trump ain't responsible. We got to talk truthful here, y'all. We in Chicago, we are a sanctuary state, sanctuary county, sanctuary city. So if Abbott's getting tired of them, I told y'all know some friends. Call y'all friends in Arizona who moved out there. They don't have no more room. They're busting, and these folks are illegal. They send them to y'all because y'all got the welcome in the city. Now you saying you don't want them. That's what you're saying. But this stuff is terrible, y'all. And I'm not so sure how much preparation that our people who are in government, not everybody, are prepared to serve and to understand what to do. And they feel overwhelmed, too. I haven't heard any of our black Congress people talk about what's going on in our community education, what's going on with all these folks coming here. The only time you'll hear from them, when they drop the Trump bomb, or they drop the racism bomb, or they drop the police brutality, then they're going to knock you down. But we got good folks and good things, and we need resources. We need to hear from them before them. All of them need to get together and go. Well, you see, we got to be God. Ain't no God didn't tell you to be no darn fool. And when I heard this man the other day in Detroit, not this morning, I woke up, Trump was good with the election. Well, hey, that's over with. I don't want to hear about that. That's the thing they keep it in your face. You dealing with that instead of dealing with your immediate problem. When the man in Dearborn, Michigan said the other day that we got the money and we got the power and we're going to take it over. Look it up. We're going to enact Sharia law. Well, folks didn't like that. Why are you coming here for it? But to lead the one that's leading all that mess, took John Conyers' seat, a seat of a historical black person, and black folks have put her there. Joanne Watson, my dear sister, died with a broken heart because she tried to put a black woman in that place in our community like a fool. I had a couple folks call me. Y'all heard them. What's wrong with that? You know, and it's like, if you loved where you were so much, go back to it. You ran from it. But in the meantime, in the midst of all of this chaos, the devil's in your school. They giving the people a right for the satanic school stuff to be in the schools. And if you are another faith, you're a Muslim or something, you must let the child do their prayer time. But, Christians, you cannot put a Bible in the school or talk about God our foundation in God. We trust in all that. And the coward ministers are being quiet. Not all of them. The coward Christians are being quiet, which goes all the way back to the post-traumatic slavery syndrome, because they are scared. You know, it's really a mental thing, and they know, based off, and I'm coming to the phone soon, advice among masters. I talked to y'all about that once, and we'll get back into it later. That's a manual that was put together on how to deal with us, and all the planets got to, so they're still doing that. And we will dissect that book in Black History Month, Advice Among Masters. We're going to do that. But right now, there's an emergency in the black community, in the schools and everything. Now, the last thing, not the last thing, but I know I want to go to the phone. It's so much, but I got to end this show today with my pastor and talking about God. Y'all got tricked again. I told y'all, black parents will have no say-so in the education of those who fools that still have the kids. And some don't, now, excuse me, y'all not fools, so you don't know. In the say-so of the education of your child. Why you say that, Dorothy Tillman? Our state legislators got, at least when you got under this, you can go down there and fight for whoever appoint them, like we did when we put, when we fought for Manfred Byrd and stuff. But they passed, and y'all thought, oh, yeah, we want elected school board. Y'all didn't even know what y'all was doing. They passed the elected school board. They're drawing the map. The one the representative from the Latino community, and you can't get mad at her. And I think she's now, she works with Johnson now. I think she's a deputy chief of staff or something. He had took Martinez's place when Martinez got elected. Y'all don't know all that. She made sure that they put in that law that you don't have to be a citizen to vote for the elected school board or have a voice. All you have to do is have your children to be in the public school. Now, take a note, y'all. And I kept saying, don't do that. Oh, no, no, no. Because most of you, too, you know, you don't, you want to, some of you are Christian, you believe in the good things. Some of you just waiting for your little notes. I get mad when I hear folks reading their little notes, their talking points. Don't call it talking about no Trump to me. I don't need to hear all that. Biden, Kamala, is responsible for what's going on. And if all these mayors start hollering and letting him know that they're not going to take it, maybe he'll stop it. But he's laughing, both of them. That administration is laughing because they done bamboozled us. They got you hollering at the wrong people. Don't holler at the governor of Texas. Close the damn border. He can close with a stroke of a pen. No, he just laughing and walking around. That's who's responsible for that. And our representatives need to go and tell them, stop this mess. You scared to do that? You scared to go. When you have government, you got to be able to criticize them. And that's why, as a people, we get in trouble because somehow or another, we're not scared to criticize. That's how we got a socialist government down city hall. And that's why, and that's a whole other story. We'll talk about it when I come back at another time. Prixler and Johnson is fighting. Prixler said he don't want that socialist type government. He said that now. And he talking about all that stuff down there. They fighting back and forth because he's saying it is hurting the businesses in this city. And Chicago have got to, it's a hub and it got to function. Y'all don't know about that. Y'all just want somebody to hate. Last thing, had a friend of mine, Les used to be over the National Black Publisher. He had a paper called The Pensacola Exposure. He told me, Tillman, I said, what? Black folks are demolition expert. You out there fighting? I said, don't say that, Les. He gone to glory now. He said, they'll tear up things. They'll knock you out the way to tear up something. They just demolition expert. And you say, okay, now we've torn this down, and it's time to build. You can't find nobody to build. And that's what they tapping into. We got to tap into God of our weary years, God of our silent tears. We have to do that. I'm calling SOS for our communities. For our communities and for our schools and for our children and for our God. And our elected officials need to speak up. I don't call me. I got these leadership that's all over the place. Oh, yeah, they don't have no rights to do nothing. Go home. It's not right that my kids, it's not right. It's ungodly. And stop legitimizing them, calling them immigrants. They are illegal. They are illegal. They're illegal immigrants. They're not migrants. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON. Number 773-591-69. We're streaming live. www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. And we're on Blog Talk this week. And last week we wasn't, but I'm going to post that show on Blog Talk if you want to hear it. And we are on, what I told you, iHeartRadio, VON, all that other stuff, right? And whatever you want to do, you can find it. We're going to be talking our butt. I got so much on my mind that I can't deal with it all. Get your coffee, get your tea. Coffee to the conversation with Dorothy Wright Tillman right here at the great WVON. I'm not taking a break. I'm going to take the next 6 minutes to take y'all calls. When I come back after the break, I'm going to have the pastor. We're going to talk. We're going to have a conversation about Jesus and about the virgin birth. And as he talks, I'm going to make sure y'all get a chance to have a conversation. In God we trust. Get your coffee, get your tea, because I'm getting ready. Don't go. I'm getting ready to take some calls. That's right. Oh, my God. You know who I'm going to start with? Williams, how you doing?
Thank you, Dorothy Tillman, for taking my call. And I just wanted to give you an update on the 115 hostage situation. We're still out there protesting.
Uh-huh.
And we're not going to give up.
Okay.
And we're going. Our next project is we're going to work on the schools, and you know, we want to bring back resources to that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And we're not going to have a quiet voice about it. And one of our challenges is the Christian church. A lot of people believe that we are unchristian or not Christians because of the stance that we are taking. You know,
tell them this, William. Jesus said, "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's." Caesar said, come across the board legally.
Right. Amen. Amen to that. And that's what I, you know, I tell them, the Bible say, obey the laws of the land.
Yeah, and get them unto Caesar. Let me tell you something. Our church was founded on God we trust, and they're trying to destroy. Williams Key, stay strong. Y'all stay strong. And one day in the black, I'm going to get a chance to meet you, okay?
Thank you, and thank you for speaking up for the black community, Dorothy. And you have a great day.
Thank you so much. They scared. If you believe in God, you know, and you really believe all power's in his hands, you ain't going to be scared. That's the stuff. Brother Chris. Oh. Brother Chris.
Hello?
Hey, Brother Chris.
Hey, good morning, Mother Tillman. Happy holidays
to you, too.
You and the family, WVON family.
Yeah.
I just had a question. You remember years back that athlete Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee and got bashed and lost his cold career.
I don't care about Kevin. I'm the last person on the
floor.
I remember. Yeah, I remember that. Uh-huh.
I'm just making a point.
Make your point, baby. A lot of the
veterans backed him up and said they fought, died for freedom of expression. And I think what you said about LeBron.
I love LeBron. I'm in one of his specials. I just said that him sitting, no freedom. We right now, we at war, and this is our country, and we ain't got time to play those kind of reindeer games. That's all I'm saying, Chris.
I think what he has had more positive influence on the culture than
negative.
He
got a very positive. I ain't said nothing about him. I love him to death. I'm loving him to death. As observation, I'm saying we at war right now. This is our country. You got to shut up.
And this is my observation.
Uh-huh.
You had that former mayor Rudy Giuliani spreading lies about those two black beautiful women.
See, I'm not trying to see. This is why we can't look at what we need to do, because we got these folks that looking for an opposition. I'm not oppositional, Chris. I don't think about them folks. I am concerned about what's going on. No, I love LeBron. In fact, he did a whole Black History program about Dr. King in a minute. I'm saying you have to help the brother, saying this is your country. When that girl got in jail over in Germany, we right now got folks snatching everything we got to make us non-existent. That's all I'm saying, Chris. That's all, you know. Yeah, don't take me across the board. Go jump. Let Jay.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Uh-huh.
And thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I want to say, first of all, you said a whole lot of things I would like to comment on, but I'm trying to stay focused on why I called. This tension is really growing between the illegal immigrants and black people. They don't have any fear because they think America allowed them to come in because we got a punk government. I was on the blue line several months ago, and one of them had his iPhone going on with his music. He's singing. He's sitting there with his friends,
uh-huh.
you know, to the point where this black guy had to move to the other side.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I was on the green line just a couple of days ago, and this is why I know the tension is growing, because the young people are starting to feel it.
Uh-huh.
Before they get off the train, I mean, he was sitting there, the immigrants were sitting there by themselves, you know, and one of those
the illegal immigrants, be sure you put illegal in front of it.
I said, y'all said illegal. I thought I said illegal.
He's an immigrant. I heard you, baby. They're illegal. Go. They're illegal. They're
yeah,
illegal. They're illegal. They're illegal.
Yeah,
I'm
I thought
sorry,
I said
Jay.
Illegal. I apologize.
That's
I apologize.
All right, Jay. I'm just being
before
like
they
that.
Before they get off the phone. I mean, before they get off the train, they punch one of them and then they get off the train. That's why I know the.
Oh no, they something else. They look. They're very. Look, this is. They need to.
No, I said one of the black guys punched one of those illegals before they get off the train.
Why
that's why I know the tension is growing, because even the young people are feeling it.
Oh,
that's
yes.
the point I was trying to make.
Oh, I got you. You thank know? You, baby. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Chris was at Grandmama House. That's the name of it. Chris was at Grandmama House. I'll have you out in a minute. June.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Praise the Lord. I'm doing fine.
Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm calling from Massachusetts. I'm originally out of Chicago off that west side. And
yeah.
Let me tell you up here, it is a mess. It is total mess. I remember when everybody had respect for each other, even illegals, they had respect. They don't have any respect now. At my
they
job,
act like gangsters. They say they done gangsters. I told you that woman came out to Austin, came to us and told us, no, I'm from Venezuela. No, I want that one. Like, hey, come on, don't do that.
It's totally crazy. I'm serious. I'm the only black guy at my job. We have Haitians. We have
You mean
Spanish.
The only black American. Yeah. I know what you mean.
I'm the only black American. You know what I mean? I'm the only black American there.
The native.
The only
I got you.
One. And everybody speaks their language. When I'm the only one there, I don't know what's going
See,
on.
And that's why. That's why when you come legally, you got to learn our language, speak our language, and all the other stuff. But the folks don't understand. Thank you, Jay, for calling. June, I mean.
You got to have a good day.
And keep listening. My pastor's going to come on and stuff. We're going to have a good time. Okay, thank you so much. Lord, I hate to go. Dylan and Grandmama, you go. Okay, thank you. Maurice, I can give you 10 seconds. How many minutes I got? 3 minutes. I'm going to give you 10 seconds, Maurice, okay? And then I want to play this song. Oh, in honor of Herb Kent. Maurice.
Yes, ma'am. I'll make it quick. Ma'am, the problem is you have all the people who pay them under the table.
Well,
it's
I don't care about
money.
Whether they're on the table, over the table.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I know, but listen, Maurice, listen to me. Over the table, under the table, around the table.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I know you're not,
it's
Maurice.
It's the economics of it. Because you have these dudes, but you have the people who work in restaurants. You have the coach people who come here and clean offices.
Okay,
this
say,
is why they come here and they stick around.
I got to go, Maurice. I love
that's
you.
That's all I wanted to say. I love you too, ma'am.
I just took it. Yeah, but it's deeper than that. I wish that's all. Look, if you go on the Christmas stuff, hey, we're going to – somebody said, Dorothy, somebody said, you do all that cooking, you can start it. I said, yeah, what you do on Christmas? I said, oh, all my family going to be there. We're going to have a good time like we did Thanksgiving, all my family. And you know what's so funny? Wherever my family is in the country, they're doing the same thing because that's where we was raised. And I'm playing this song for y'all because it's tradition. Herb Kent, Marsha, Talk of Chicago, 69 WVN, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvn.com. When I heart rate tickets up, you go. This is Sir Herb Kent and Marshall Michelle. Hey, dinner at Grandmama's house. That's my house. Tradition, we're going to have fun. I love y'all. Get your coffee, get your tea. Enjoy this. And when you come back, you can talk to me. Oh, my God, we got so much to talk about. But I'm going to have my pastor bring it up. How long is it?
Mama's house will always stay on my mind. There's no place quite like Mama's house, especially around Christmas time. Kinfolks come from far and near, world which you haven't seen all year. The world is filled with joy and cheer.
At my house, y'all, let's give you a chance to get together. You get time to get together to talk, y'all. God is real. Jesus is real. Family. Get the family. We got to come together and talk. Like the brother just said, young folks are feeling it. I'm going to have my pastor on the 7th. And then I might take a few calls. I'm going to take some calls for y'all after that. But it's Christmas time. That's Herb Kent and Marsha. Bring it on up there. Bring it on up. Let's hear it.
Of course, just seeing those beautiful Christmas decorations on the door.
Good job. The
and
cool
those
gym.
Windows with those colorful lights reflecting against the early night. You rang the bell. The aroma of what she'd been cooking all
That's me,
night.
Y'all. Sweet potato pies, greens, turkey.
Pie, baby. The roast turkey.
Y'all heard Dorothy last week. Dorothy can cook. I taught her how to cook all my grandkids. Christmas time at Grandmama's house.
Pineapples all floating around it. And the
yeah.
homemade yeast rolls like only mama can make, you know
that
what I mean?
Y'all. Sweet potato pie.
Chicken and dressing, macaroni and cheese, chocolate cake,
green, right here at the great WVON. Merry Christmas to y'all, 773-591-6000. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you want to go. Facebook group, Facebook, and blog to all of my children. 5 children, 8 grands, 4 great grands, and all the rest of them they bring in and my extended will be at Grandmama's house. That's me, y'all. I'm Big Mama now. I'm Grandmama. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back. I'm going to talk to you when I come back. Love you.
Wrapped up in the trial of 2 Aurora, Colorado paramedics involved in the death of Elijah McClain in 2019. Jeremy Cooper and Peter Kukuniak pleaded not guilty to charges of reckless manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. They're accused of administering a 500-milligram dose of ketamine to a 23-year-old black man. The pair testified that they believe McClain was experiencing excited delirium during an altercation with police officers and considered their treatment protocol to be safe.
The House Education Committee is launching an investigation into allegations of plagiarism against Harvard President Claudine Gay. The university confirmed that it had found 2 more examples of insufficient citation in her work, stemming from Dr. Gay's 1997 doctoral dissertation revealing duplicative language without appropriate attribution. Just days ago, Harvard said that an earlier review had found 2 published articles requiring additional citations for which Gay would request corrections and that she would also be updating her dissertation.
The FBI is investigating a white couple in Conway, South Carolina, over allegations of stalking and harassing their black neighbors. Police say 28-year-old Warden Butler and 27-year-old Alexis Arnett allegedly hurled racial slurs and erected a burning cross facing the victim's home over Thanksgiving weekend. Butler is also accused of sharing a photo of the neighbor's mailbox on Facebook with a post that read, "Summoning the Devil's Army, and I don't care if they and I both go down the same boat." Butler and Harnett are facing harassment charges.
An Oklahoma man who spent more than 48 years behind bars has been exonerated in what the National Registry of Exonerations believes to be the longest time served by a wrongfully convicted inmate in U.S. history. 70-year-old Glenn Simmons was declared innocent in a ruling by a judge in Oklahoma County District Court. He was released on bond back in July after the judge agreed to vacate the judgment and sentence at the request of a district attorney reviewing his case. It was ultimately determined that crucial evidence had not been turned over to Simmons' defense lawyers. For more international, national, state, and local news impacting the black community, listen to the Black Information Network on the iHeartRadio app or log on to BINnews.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Black Information Network and on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Black InfoNet. I'm Terry McCready along with Kevin Brown on your home for 24/7 news, the Black Information Network.
Imagine dreaming you had one chance to write a song that all the world would sing. and your dreams came true. Now imagine experiencing a life-altering health challenge with mounting medical bills that your share of royalties from that hit song can barely cover. The year? 1970. The songwriter? Nadine McKinner. The recording artist? Donny Hathaway. The song.
Hang on in the suitcase, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas.
A match made in heaven. Nadine McKinner and Donny Hathaway. To date, over 300 artists have covered This Christmas. Unfortunately, because of industry practices and standards in the early 70s, Nadine McKinner failed to protect her interests and did not benefit financially to the extent she should have. As we know, history is littered with countless untold stories of the accomplishments of hidden black female figures. For over 50 years now, we've been inspired by this heartfelt Christmas classic. Due to a sudden debilitating stroke, Nadine McKinner is in need of our help to assist with massive medical bills not covered by her insurance. Please show your love to this inspirational woman and writer of our beloved classic. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for you and Nadine. Please contribute as your heart leads you. All donations are welcome. Go right now to the GoFundMe page for Nadine Scott McKinner or head to the KBLA 1580 website. On behalf of KBLA Talk 1580, thank you in advance for doing your part to honor a true songwriting legend.
And this Christmas will be very special Christmas for me.
At WVON, we're proud to help.
Good day, America. Hello, Chicago. And what's up, West Side? This is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. Join me on December 27th for a live in-person show diving into the political plan for prosperity in 2024. We will be at 115 Bourbon Street, located at 3359 West 115th Street in Marionette Park. Enjoy an evening of laughs, food, drinks, and master planning. Tickets can be purchased via eventnoir.com for Black Excellence Hour Live. And remember, we are as American as sweet potato pie. See you soon.
Hi, I'm Lori Smith. I'm the latest addition to the Midway Broadcasting Team. Kwanzaa holds a special place in my heart, making this time of year truly meaningful to me and my family. Tune in from December 26th to January 1st to explore the seven principles of Kwanzaa featuring our own WVON personalities. This Kwanzaa celebration is made possible by our wonderful friends at ComEd.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis.
Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweat, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
It's a day filled with festivities, celebrating family, community, and culture. Bring the little ones along for a day of fun with storytelling, arts and crafts, music, singing, face painting, and a special visit from the Kwanzaa King. Admission is just $5 per person, and members get in for free. Don't miss out on this unique experience that brings us all together. For more information, call 773-721-9301 or visit www.bronzevillechildrenmuseum.com.
Come celebrate Emoja, unity. Let's embrace the spirit of Kwanzaa as we gather, learn, and share the joy of the season. Tuesday, December 26th, from 1 until 3 p.m. See you there.
Hi,
I'm Attorney Ernesto Borges. I'd like to invite you to join me for the Borges Report for lively discussions about legal matters, politics, government, entertainment, and the topics that concern you in your life. Start your Sunday the Borges way with the Borges Report.
The Borges Report with Ernesto Borges, Sunday mornings at 9 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
WBON 1450. Live from Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WBON Berwyn, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Doesn't matter with me now.
It really doesn't matter with me now.
Because I've been to the mountaintop.
Might
not get there with you.
I don't mind.
I'll give my life for you. Because God didn't allow me to go to the mountaintop. God allowed me, and I looked over and I seen the promised land. Might not get there with you. What do you mean? He understood joy to the world. He understood God. I've been watching him, looking at some stuff. He understood. He's one of those leaders who believe in God. Might not get there with you. But we will. We will not still believe we will. It's 7 o'clock, wherever you are in the state, in the city, in the country, in the world. Hey, this is the weekend before we celebrate the birth of Christ. I love this time. I just love this time. So I'm altering my program a little bit. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVUN, number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvun.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Check us up. You go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and we on Blog Talk. And we also checking in and sending some money to the Harold Washington Culture Center. I put it on my Facebook. How y'all do it? I forgot to mention. But in the meantime, I got my pastor on hold. I got my pastor on hold. My pastor, Pastor Andrew Hunt Jr. from the Liberty Baptist Church. You know, Dorothy mentioned him last week. Her pastor, the one who baptized him. But that's our pastor. And I told you, we are on every Sunday from 11 to 12. You can see us on YouTube, but you can also come and join us. But I got him. We're going to talk about the nativity. We're going to talk about Christ, that virgin birth. We're going to talk about what we need. Because you know what? After this song, the next person I'll be talking to will be your pastor. What you want to say, Jim Alita? We ain't doing the black today. Sorry. Everybody knows black, 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 black. Jim Lee's in the studio talking about the black, 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 black. Oh, it's real black today because it's black talking about black folks being involved with God. That's how black it is. It's 7 o'clock. What time it is? Black, 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 because it's joy to the world. And next voice we bring the past up. Joy to the world. Lock my pastor in for me.
Joy to the world, the Lord is.
Woo! Yeah, come on, y'all. Hey, y'all, don't be surprised if it don't happen tomorrow. The second coming might be not the way these demons out here. Y'all better prepare. Yeah. How long is that song?
And heaven and nature
sing. Woo!
And heaven
and nature
sing. Oh. Everybody else sing joy. They got a song. Say joy,
joy, joy, joy. Joy, 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 joy. JJ, that's JJ Harrison, y'all, and his group. Joy, 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 joy. Joy, joy, joy. Woo! Hey! Hey! Nothing but joy, y'all. Hey! Sound like we already at liberty, getting ready for tomorrow. Woo! Hey! When you understand the virgin birth, you're welcome to Welcome Talk of Chicago 69 WVN. Copy to the conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. Right at, you like that one, at the great WVON with her pastor, Pastor Andrew Hunt Jr. You know I have to get him every Easter and every Christmas. Welcome to Coffee Tea, Pastor.
Hey, good morning. Joy to the world. Joy
yeah.
to the world.
Yeah, Pastor. Yeah.
What a way to kick it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want everybody to know this is Pastor Andrew Hunt Jr., our pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. And, you know, we're going to talk about the virgin birth, talk about anything you want to talk about, because we got to bring these folks. Hey, y'all, we got to shine a light. Pastor, I'm going to let you kick this off however you want to. I'm not taking a break. I don't have to take a break, Brianna. I'm not taking a break. I'm going straight through. And then I'm telling y'all, last 10 or 15 minutes, I will take questions, not all that other stuff. If you're still there, I'll take questions. Pastor, take it away, Pastor. My pastor.
Well, you couldn't have picked a better song. Something jumped in my spirit as you were getting happy, almost as if you were in church, sitting off to my left side, waving your hand. let's hit that joy piece first.
Okay.
Because I think the misnomer that the world has is look at those Christians. They got this Jesus. They run around shouting joy and happy, and everything's wrong. And you know what? That's
what?
Because they miss the joy that we get through Jesus.
Yeah.
See, the joy that we get through Jesus is not this momentary, I'm happy for a minute,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
they think,
yeah.
right? Joy is what you have when things aren't going right.
Right.
Joy is that inner strength that you have because you know because there is a God, as you mentioned earlier with Dr. King, that we will get to the promised land.
Yeah.
That's joy.
Yeah.
That's why we shout in church. We're not shouting at church just because we're some emotive creatures running around the building. We have joy because we have Jesus.
Yeah.
That when we look at adversity, we can even shout, laugh, cry in the midst of adversity because we know we got power to press through it.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't have started, and that's the motive of this season,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of unrest in our communities. There's a lot of unrest in the world. But we celebrate this season because God gave us a remedy. When God gave us his son, Jesus Christ, and we cannot go to Christmas without going to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son,
mm-hmm.
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Right.
And so when we receive Jesus, that was God's remedy for the world, because Jesus' other name is Emmanuel.
Yeah.
God is with us.
Right.
So prior to Jesus, God sat high and looked low.
Yeah.
But when he sends his son, the second part of the Godhead, Jesus, now God is with us. And when we get to Easter, we'll talk about how when Jesus left, God came, still was with us with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So Jesus coming is the beginning of not just God sitting high and looking low, but actually being with us.
Yeah.
And we need God with us,
yes,
to
Lord.
Find the resolutions and direction for our communities,
uh-huh.
for the world, because God is with us. And what we've deviated from is God is with us, but we ain't looking for God.
Uh-huh. And when you
telling God where to go.
Yeah,
right?
And when you ain't looking for him, something will pop up like all these demons, this demonic stuff. So, you get anything. What they say?
Right. Yeah, and you're talking about what you're hearing.
Uh-huh.
You know, we got to be careful who we're hearing from.
Right.
You know, because God sent his son because we were, and we're going to get to that virgin birth piece, because I think we got to get to the formula, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think people miss the formula.
Okay.
God sent his son because the world, man, couldn't get it right.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
We couldn't come up with enough religious practices. We couldn't come up with enough bull, ram's oil. We couldn't kill enough sheep blood, lamb's uh-huh. blood, to get our own salvation.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So God had to send his son to come and be in the midst of us.
Yeah.
So not only that he could live, but that he would die, but we ain't going to go to Easter today.
Okay.
So that we can have God with us as a direction on how to navigate sin.
Mm-hmm.
Navigate sin that we're all in. And so that's where the virgin birth comes in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can be quite honest on the phone.
Yeah.
Anybody that is a human being, a virgin birth is a difficult thing to understand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's a difficult physiological thing to accept or understand.
As I tell you, when I was a little girl, we was growing up as teenagers, sitting in the church out there, and we say, yeah, we're going to tell our mama the Holy Ghost got us pregnant.
I don't think she was going to buy it, because it's a difficult thing to understand,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a difficult. So I think it can be better understood, not from the physical standpoint, because we're physical beings, right? So it's hard to see beyond our carnality sometimes.
Yeah.
But we need to understand the virgin birth from its theological, spiritual significance.
Okay.
Jesus could not be born of a man because since Adam, man had fallen into sin.
Uh-huh.
And therefore it would be required for the Holy Spirit to move in Mary, who was a pure virgin, that she give birth to Jesus Christ, because we understand Jesus not only to be human, but divine.
Right.
And when the baby Jesus was here with us as a human being, as his gifts escalated, we continually began to see his divinity. But he was human and divine. So it's not just something that God decided to do for some hocus pocus.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It was a remedy to the problems of the world,
uh-huh.
to send that which is divine to walk among us,
mm-hmm.
and to come from the line of David to be what we say, you know, what we used to say, what we still say in the church when we ordain ministers and deacons,
mm-hmm.
is that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was necessary that that virgin birth happened. It was necessary that the nativity happened because there's truths in the nativity. And I know we got some of our callers, and they'll probably be surprised that I agree to a degree, that the nativity scene that we have been given is quite watered down.
Uh-huh.
You know, but there's really no other way to catch such a robust event.
Yeah.
But it has been tried to be done down through the years.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at this God son being born of a virgin, and all the events that occurred, what it speaks to us is, Sister Tillman, is that when God is with us,
mm-hmm.
God starts, and you've taught me this, we've talked about it, God starts major movements bottom up and not top down.
Right, right. Because really, right? Mary was just a simple person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to touch one that's of the least of these.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh, that's what, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to these shepherds who don't have access to the mayor's office.
Right, right, right.
They don't have access to Prince.
Yeah.
Right, they don't have access to Prince.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to change the world. God's going to change the world from a man, from the nativity.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking, and then to be born to a family that there was no room for them to be.
And it was,
right?
really interesting, Pastor, as they went to pay. Remember what I find real interesting, because early today, I told them about Jesus, about these illegal immigrants. I'm not going to teach you it too. But how when Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar, wasn't they on their way to give unto Caesar to pay their taxes?
Right, right, right. Because it was the time of the tax collection.
Yeah. And
everybody was being accounted for, just like the IRS accounts for us. That's my CPA side talking now, right?
Yeah.
You check by your Social Security number. You can't go get away when they run them numbers, right?
Uh-huh.
So that was the time where that was going on. And so Jesus is even born in the circumstances that let us know what God values.
Yeah.
And what God can do. And I think we have migrated because of the commercialization of Christmas. We cannot deny that.
Uh-huh,
we cannot
uh-huh,
deny that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But what is disappointing is that people that don't walk by the faith, they think that those of us inside of church walls,
mm-hmm.
Even if we have a Christmas tree, even if our kids celebrate Santa Claus,
mm-hmm.
those of us that know the Lord by no means raise our families to say that Jesus is not the reason.
Right. Because, you know, I told like my tree is so beautiful, and I've been telling folks, light it up. We want to light up for Jesus. You see the tree and the light and the star represent them shepherds, represent the light
right,
of the world.
Right,
you know,
right.
If we take a moment to tell our children what that means, it isn't just no tree. The light, we're tuning into what does it mean, Jesus, light of the world.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. That and that's the, you know, that it's when Jesus came, he brought light into darkness.
Yeah,
and
Pastor.
Well, let's look at how this thing that happened thousands of years ago transformed the world, right?
Uh-huh.
As fragmented as the world is,
mm-hmm.
it is this time of year
mm-hmm.
where millions and millions of people are on one accord.
Right. You know, that's real.
That cannot be denied.
Yeah.
Just cannot be denied.
Come on, Pastor.
That at its essence has to be spiritual
yes.
and not commercial.
Right.
What any time of the year, you from France to Africa to U.S.
the world,
everybody,
huh? Yeah.
Everybody is on accord. That is not something that just happens because of mass commercialism.
Right.
There is a God element that is the primary element of the reason why we are going to be with our families on Monday, why we are going to sing praises to the Lord tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
why we are at the church even today, giving Christmas meal groceries out.
To those who have already signed up.
No, we have some. We have quite a few. So beginning at 12 o'clock today,
uh-huh.
Individuals can come by Liberty Baptist Church, 4849 South King Drive, and get a Christmas basket with turkey, stuffing, mac and cheese, cranberries.
Until it's all gone.
Cranberry sauce,
right.
Rolls and greens. Until it's all gone. Until it's all gone.
Until it's all gone. Y'all come on by. And, I told the deacon I was going to make you go home and get some rest while they be out there. You need to rest.
Yeah, he got to me.
He did. I told him, don't have my day. He needs some rest. I said, y'all can do this. They said, okay, so Tim, you know, Pastor, one of the things that this has got to you, Pastor.
Said, yeah, they got them.
one of the things, Pastor, is I was telling my audience, and you can address this, that that book, that's the most, that's the talking about the book. That book is probably reprinted and sold more than the other book. But you tell me this, Pastor, what else? That's how you know it's real, I'm telling you, Pastor. What other event that the whole world, that you either AD or BC, what does that tell you? That tells you something,
absolutely.
On it. It tells you something,
absolutely.
On it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And think of the power of it. You know, our world is full of sin and full of hate.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, it tones down this time of year.
You know, you're right. People saying, speaking to you and laughing and but that's why that's why this. If you look and those who look at the devil, the symbol of the demonic spirit, are trying to really. They're really scared. They're all up in our schools everywhere. You see, they trying to put they demonic stuff right next to our nativity. They have wrapped up their stuff, Pastor. Now that demonic spirit ain't sitting. It's deep and it's dark.
Yeah, and I think we have misjudged diversity.
Uh-huh.
You know, and people have used us to start that. Okay, we're gonna be equal, so we're gonna put a demonic symbol next to the nativity.
Mm-hmm.
When as we talk about the power of God, we're the greatest. Whether people like America or not, and
mm-hmm.
America has its issues,
uh-huh.
we're the greatest superpower the world has ever known.
Right, right.
And it's in God we trust.
In God we trust. Yes.
It's in Christian tenets
uh-huh.
That we trust.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so how that in an effort for diversity, you allow symbolism that are contrary to the founding of this country to be done is out of order.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's out of order, and as far as the Bible goes, the Bible, and we know our good friend Spencer Lee King has been trying to do it.
Yes, he
has. As far as putting the Bible in schools as a part of the curriculum,
mm-hmm,
and it should be a part of the curriculum. This scene itself. What we just talked about, about the virgin birth
uh-huh.
and the nativity, and the things that we talked about how God can use the marginalized
uh-huh.
and create a movement,
right?
Even outside of a purely Christian context,
uh-huh.
that dialogue from understanding the literary masterpiece of which the Bible is, can benefit students who read it. Whether they are Christian or not.
The literary, that's what you just said. You need to repeat that, Pastor. That's heaven.
Yeah, because that's what I drew Mr. Leek in. I said, Mr. Leek, I think we want to position this Bible in school thing because we know they're going to attack Christianity.
Yeah.
So you got to be wise as a serpent, meek as a dove.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
We need to present the Bible as the greatest literary piece ever written.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And just like Shakespeare's literary pieces ever written, Toni Morrison's best literary pieces ever written,
uh-huh.
Langston Hughes's best literary pieces ever written, then this needs to be a part of it because it's one of the greatest literary pieces ever written, and it is a guide to moral principles and values.
You know, Pastor, I was talking to some children and who didn't really understand ADBC. And I was talking to some adults that's my children at y'all age.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, because older people know. And they didn't even understand the ADBC because people don't use it no more.
Right.
Before Christ and after the death, that was a marker for us growing up. And it's a marker for the world now. But they don't use it. They don't even know what ADBC is.
Right. They don't show it a lot. It's interesting because even in seminary when I was studying, they migrated from BC and we would call it before the common era.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's and you and I often talk about this. You got to understand the paradigm shift in the religious environment is starting the good and the bad at the seminary level.
Oh yeah.
So when our pastors are being and leadership is being trained, they're bringing things from the seminaries, which some kind of great, because I got some great things from seminary, and they're infusing them into their congregations. And I like what A.P. Jackson used to say about seminary. Uh-huh. We go to seminary to sharpen our tools, but not to get our tools.
That makes sense. Because they have them, don't they have to declare some about their genders and stuff now in the seminary school?
Yeah, you have some seminaries that are open to that, and when you announce yourselves, they are asking you to say if you are declare if you are him or her or they. And I was in such a form, and I gave my name, and that was it.
Yeah.
I can be respectful of you for what you're saying without changing who I am.
And see, that has something. Now, Satan, nope. That's why you have this dark stuff going on here. And that's why, oh, yeah, that's deep. And,
yeah.
Oh, that's something, Pastor.
Yeah, I think that's what we're missing. And, you know, I love education, and I've been blessed to be educated. I think we need to put education in perspective, and I think our churches that say, well, we want to have Dr. So and So, that's good, you should, but be understand that if you want that, then you need to also get somebody who's spiritually in line with where the church is.
Well, you know, most of our leaders were spiritual. I don't know. When you look at anything that happened, whether they built colleges, whether they built schools, you look at Dr. King, Rosa Parks, Mary McLeod Bethune, Frederick Douglass was a minister.
Yes.
Led by God. And God told him to go talk to Lincoln. We didn't have no folks who didn't understand God. Folks don't know. But Frederick Douglass was a minister.
Yeah.
You know, Sojourn in Truth, I speak to the Lord and the Lord speaks to me and he tells me these things.
Yeah.
Harriet Tubman.
Yeah.
And you come on down to Dr. King, or you come on down to those people, you know, led by the Spirit of God. It was a bunch of ministers, as we get ready to celebrate Dr. King next month, sitting in a room after Rosa Parks, E.D. Nixon, pull all of y'all, they all got together, the ministers, and put together, led by God, that had the wisdom to say, we're not going to be getting in a fight with these denominations. Remember my pastor was on, when I was a little girl. Remember I had him on?
Yeah,
Reverend Fields, he was the first secretary of that. And he was one of the ones that nominated Dr. King. And he was real close to E.D. Nixon, too. But he said that one of the reasons they came with the Montgomery Improvement Association, now you got to tell me this is led by God, because they knew all the Baptists and the Methodists down south, the Methodists was all, you know. But they knew all these different denominations, but they chose to go with the Improvement Association to keep them having in a religious fight. Now, tell me that wasn't led by God.
Yeah, and it goes back. That's such a good segue, Sister Tillman.
Okay.
It goes right back to the formula that I just gave.
Yeah.
Right? God sent Jesus because we needed God to be with us. And African-Americans, black folks have succeeded because God was with us.
Right.
And there's, if you really look at our history, no matter what anybody think about God, black folks are reaping the benefits today of people who God was with.
That's right, Pastor. You're absolutely right.
You can't even deny that. So no. You can go way back. They go way back to whatever they want to talk about. But if it hadn't been for you guys, Montgomery bus boycott, Edmund Pettus Bridge, the lunch counters, all this stuff we don't even know about you guys were doing, all that was under God, and every black person under the sound of my voice listening today benefited from that.
You know, Pastor, because Shaw University,
yeah.
Minister by God. Y'all want
right.
to talk about Howard. My child went to Howard. Look at all the leadership. led by God, right. Because God understood that in order for his people to make it, in order for us to make it, we had to. Education was so important. We didn't mind taking care. We built hospitals. We did all this stuff. You know, it's led by God.
Yeah.
Carl Bethune, they want to talk about our school. She was led by God. They want to. Ida B. Wells. You can't think of anybody. John Johnson, you know.
You can't think of anybody.
And
no.
Be full. I don't know anybody in my realm that I can think that people enjoy, like you said, was not led by God, Pastor.
Right. And the people in my age group who may not be led by God, many still are, but mm-hmm. may not be led by God, they still cannot argue that they stand on the shoulders of people led by God.
Right.
You just can't get around God, you
can't
know.
Get around.
No. And in the complexities of this world, that we're in, that the complexities of the world that has always been, you cannot effectively move without God's guidance.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're telling the truth. God, yes, Pastor, right.
You can't move on your own knowledge.
I got it
all figured out.
Yes, you can. I don't mean to diss you. Yeah. If you don't move on God's guidance, the devil going to lead you over a cliff.
Oh, right, right.
He put
that's
that
right.
shiny stuff in front of you.
I hear you.
You understand what I'm saying?
You're moving on your own, man. That's right.
Address that for that's a minute right. before I start taking these calls, because that's important. Because a lot of folks don't understand. And right now, we're not fighting flesh and blood. And we're in a weird, strange period as our people. And we're in a strange period as the human, as our people in this country, in this world. But as black people, we're in strange spirit and strange place, Pastor.
Yeah, and look, and the Bible speaks that. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They in high places, book, too. Go on, Pastor.
Yeah, book written thousands of years before today.
Yeah.
Nails it right there.
Now, because the question is this, and then I'm going to come to the phone in a minute. See, I see him every Sunday. Y'all can look on YouTube 11 and 12 or come on to church. We're going to have a great time tomorrow singing and stuff Sunday, tomorrow. I look at it like this. So God led and put together this country, regardless of how it was done, and everything was in God we trust, and he gave us folks the power to break off from England and do all that stuff. We didn't do it on their own, in spite of whatever the relationship was.
Right.
And God we trust was everywhere. You prayed. You didn't put your hand on the Bible or to say what you're going to say, but you prayed. Now, high places is moving that.
Yeah.
That's some deep stuff. Just put that on my mind. That's all.
Yeah. And that's why when you enter high places, you have to be prayed up on how to navigate.
Yeah.
Like you taught me a long time ago, and I stick to it, because mm-hmm. you said Dr. King taught you guys, I never go into high places hungry. With my hand out.
Yeah.
Because you can't navigate it that way.
Mm-mm. You can't go hungry.
You got to know what. If your source is God, you won't be hungry.
Yeah, Pastor.
Yeah, you won't be. Because God will fill your cup.
Yeah. Well, I got my board is lit up, y'all. I got a few. I'm going to take a few calls, and I'm going to go back to my pastor. Because I ain't got 15 minutes. I'm enjoying this. Some are living night, and other folks probably say, let him talk, but I have to take a few calls. Now, you know, Pastor Cliff is sitting there at 6 o'clock waiting on you. I'm going to let him wait a little bit longer, Cliff, because I, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, Cliff, I see you. I've been seeing you since 6. Don't make no mistake about it, Cliff. I got you sitting on purpose. Dolores. Good morning, Dolores. Merry Christmas.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas to you and Pastor. My comment for Pastor to explain to us is in Deuteronomy, I think it's 8, the Lord told us when we are going to war or when we are getting ready to do anything, you must not be scared.
Uh-huh.
And if you are afraid, you must stay home.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You cannot win a battle if you are going with a team that is afraid. You must go with a team that is not afraid. So I'm just wondering, Pastor, I know I'm paraphrasing, but that is something that sticks with me. As Dorothy says, some of our leaders are just afraid to speak up. And I was just wondering if you could explain that passage a little.
Well, I think you did an excellent job. I think you did an excellent job exegeting the text that we cannot be effective in the battle afraid. But, you know, the other thing is, too, is that as these principalities and powers are moving in high places, there are a lot of pastors who aren't afraid.
Yeah.
But because of the high places, they don't have a platform. So the high places have surrounded us with a bunch of people who are afraid.
Okay.
And so those that would speak up, those who aren't afraid, that would get the opportunity, don't do so because they're not singing from the same hymn book. And to your point, Dolores, that's what has us stagnate, why we can't win the war. We don't have nobody to fight. We don't have the people that
Brianna?
The extra people we need to fight it, because we still have some good folks, too, that are fighting it on the front line that we do see on TV, etc.
Thank you so much, Dolores. Let me go to, Pastor Weatherspoon. Leave it open, Brianna. Okay. Pastor Weatherspoon, yes.
God bless you.
God bless you, too, Pastor Weatherspoon.
God bless you.
God bless you. Good to hear you, Pastor. Pastor Andrew and I. Yeah, John 3:16, the most powerful scripture in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believe him shall not perish. That's the scripture we need to have in our heart. It covers the whole Bible.
Some people don't know how to fight
spiritual warfare.
Okay.
They don't know about their war clothes. They don't know how to fight. That's why they're afraid. We're dealing with demons.
Thank you, Pastor. He don't have to answer that because you already did it. God bless you, too.
Thank you, Reverend Wilson.
Okay, let me see what... Okay, Anita. Don't take too long, Anita. I'm having a hard... Okay, thank you. Well, I'm having a hard time disconnecting my call. You in charge? Okay, I got it. Okay. Anita.
Good morning.
What's your question?
Do you think if you don't believe in Christ and you got the first Old Testament... does that return you back to the state of the Hebrew before Revelation was even given?
Now, you're Islam. You're Muslim, right, Anita?
I believe in Christ.
Okay.
I know you came up under Elijah Muhammad.
I just know, but okay, go on.
No, I didn't. I came after he was deceased.
Oh, okay.
I was under his son, but my kid's father grew up with... my children's father grew up with Elijah Muhammad right there in Chicago.
That's all right. I heard you say you believe in Christ. That's good. Go on.
Okay. Well, my question is, if you are not following Christ at this point, would you return to the state of the Hebrew or whatever they were before God gave the first revelation to man? Would you return to that state until you believed in Christ so that you could be forgiven and allowed to move forward? What would you say about that? What do you think?
Christian theology and study does not lend itself to that. So I don't subscribe to that. But one thing that I do hear in what you're saying and I think is dangerous is, and you may not be asking this, but the undertone of that was something that someone could be interpreting. Am I saying that somebody... let's say dies and has accepted Christ, are they going to go to hell or whatever until they get it right? And so I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. But I'm also mature enough to understand that my ways are not God's ways. My mind is not God's mind. And so who am I to predetermine or declare someone's going to hell or back to a Hebrew state? My job every Sunday is to show people Jesus and pray they accept that way and that we can all be together in the last days. Because I think when you make that differentiation from the most sincere of intentions, it can be done from the most sincere of intentions, it breeds division and potential oppression and hate because I'm saying, well, this group is going to end up like this and my group's going to end up like that. I just would everybody accept Jesus Christ. Like I told my church Sunday, or the Sunday before last, everybody got insurance. And they got insurance because they know when something goes wrong, they're covered. And so I would that everybody on this line get insurance through Jesus Christ and accept him as his Lord and Savior. So when that time comes, there has to be no guessing.
Pastor,
so that's my best way that I can put that.
Thank you,
Anita, for that question.
I have a question, Pastor, before the next caller. So, they know, well, first of all, I'm glad you don't use the term Reverend. Pastor Carl, you said you don't use it no way because God didn't want you to use Reverend. I don't know when we start using it. That's not what I'm going to ask you. My question is that all through the Bible and through my teaching, the shepherd of this house, God made you all shepherds, like the shepherds and the sheep. Now, you have to explain that shepherd piece to our people, to me too.
Yeah, we are the pastors I refer to it in really in two ways in the Bible. A pastor is a shepherd that guides, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think the church and some pastors need to see that too. Mm-hmm. We guide, we don't dictate.
I like that. Okay. Okay, let me
right? We show the rod out and we don't beat you with the rod. We see you going left and we push it over to the right because you need to be going right.
Right, okay.
And our job is to lead you into, now Revelation is writing to the angels of the church.
Uh-huh.
And those are the leadership, okay. Right? So we are divinely required to give a spiritual direction for the salvation that Anita is speaking to.
Those who are called by God.
That's our goal.
Those who are called by God. You're right, Pastor. Because that's why they said you're called by God, you can't but do. Art, how you doing? I heard from you, Lord. How you doing, Art?
I'm doing great, Ms. Tillman, to your pastor. Here's two quick questions. Number one, why does it give the appearance that having a man and a woman procreating, having sex, it gives the appearance as a sin? And number two, if God wanted to use his quote-unquote spiritual power, why didn't he just make a person or a man appear and just do what he needed to do?
You mean the way they did Muhammad, the way they brought Muhammad, he just appeared?
No. I'm not even talking about the Muhammad.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being very honest with you. That's all, baby. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm being honest, too. I'm not even getting to care anything about it.
Okay, go on.
All right, I'm just asking a real question. God has created all things.
Uh-huh.
He could have just made a person appear, but why does it always have to be tied to something? Is that he created sex? So sex somehow between a man and a woman is somehow a sin. So when you say she was a virgin and he didn't want that
sin. Okay, I got to go now. You're getting too deep on
me, Art. Okay, go right ahead.
Got both of your questions. Pastor, I'm going to try to take some more calls. You ain't got to take long, and I knew you can answer that.
Sex has never been a sin in the Christian community between a married couple. We all got
kids. Well, the Bible said go through forth and multiply, right?
Yeah. So that's not a sin. And God didn't decide, the Christian theology is not that God didn't decide to do it because sex was a sin. Man had fallen into sin since Adam. And therefore, Jesus could not come from a man because of man's sinful state. And so the Holy Ghost impregnated Mary to give birth to Jesus. Why he didn't just create a man to stand up? Because it's important that Jesus identifies with the human experience.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Being born of a woman, growing up as a young man. There's plenty of things in Jesus' life that's not recorded in the Bible.
Right.
And so the uniqueness of Christianity is we believe in the Savior that has had our experience.
Well, yes.
As human beings growing up in a synagogue.
That's what made him so strong.
Right.
Yeah, I got you, Pastor.
You got to be part of that, right? To be effective leader, we always say you need to be able to identify with the people who you lead. And Jesus is the prime example of that.
Uh-huh.
And Art is absolutely right. God can do what he want to do. He could have created a Savior and done all this in 1 week.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. I'm gonna try
but that's not the Christian theological belief.
Okay. Try to take a couple more calls before I get off this phone, because you know we're Pastor, we can take 2 hours, can't we?
Yeah, we could.
Michelle?
Good question, Art.
And Dr. and Mrs. Tillman, he should have 2 hours. You need to bring him back, because this question I'm about to ask, he going to need 2 hours to study before he can answer it
He might answer it in 30 seconds. He's that deep. Go on.
Okay, well, let me pose it. First of all, let me give you the pretext here, sir. I saw a man deliver the explanation of the virgin birth almost perfectly. Almost, I say, because I
think he missed one point, but I'm going to give you the opportunity
you don't have the right to do that. What is the one point, Michelle? Since you know,
the
don't play
point
that
is that the Immaculate Conception happened when the angel appeared to speak to Mary.
Oh, well, he
that's when
that
she got pregnant. Okay, right there.
Okay, thank
when
you.
She received it. Okay. But here's my question, sir. Have Dr. Robert Jeffress of Pathway to Victory?
I watch him. I like
did
him.
Did a Christmas program this month, and he explained that word virgin as it originates in the Hebrew as Alma. And then he explains how King James and them in the Greek to English messed it up.
Okay, I watch.
Can you please define the virgin birth as best you can?
As best he can. Come on, don't insult my pastor because he's.
Don't take it as an insult.
I do take it like that. Come on.
Well, don't take it like
see,
that
Michelle,
because
God bless
I only
you,
want a
Merry Christmas. Go on, Pastor. I got to go in a minute, Pastor. Go on.
I don't know if she was listening at the beginning of it.
She probably
but
wasn't.
I explained it in the beginning. Yes, there are the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The New Testament is in Greek. I happen to have studied Greek.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece about the angel impregnated, Mary was impregnated
everybody
when she heard from angel.
Yeah, yeah.
The question is, where does it say that in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that. Is that possible? Yes. And I think what we do a lot of times is you got to remember, again, the Bible, like we said, Tillman, is a literary piece. So it's up to academic discussion. It's up to research of languages. It's up to theological interpretation.
Okay.
And those are all interpretations that are not just one answer to.
Right.
And I have no problem with your caller, any caller, saying because I'm a pastor, I got to know everything that ever happened. And
yeah.
I think that's the wrong way to look at
it.
But
that's why I said don't insult you.
I'm an academician, so I can understand the thesis
mm-hmm.
and answer the thesis and support my thesis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I explained the virgin birth, the significance of the virgin birth. I did it with art.
But you ain't got to go back through that, Pastor, because I ain't got but a few
minutes. We're not going to go back through that.
She can go to the blog so I can listen to it. No, you did explain it. I watched Jeffrey. I love Jeffrey. He did a whole thing about religion, our church. He's good. But anyway, thank you, Pastor. Mama D, I'm running out of time. You just got on, so I'm going to give you 30 seconds.
Hallelujah, greetings. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Do not decorate stone and tree. Can you explain that, please?
Okay. No. We've got to go. I got 2 minutes. I'm not going to pass. If you want to do it, you can touch it, but I got 2 minutes. I want you to.
She's clearly talking about the paganism surrounding the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is not aware of that.
We don't see it as that. She heard me earlier.
Some of the roots and all of that. Christmas and putting up a tree is part of the celebration of Christmas, and then the star that we put on the tree is indicative of the light and the shepherds, and so that's where that is. No Christian is putting up the tree as the end all, the be all to the Christmas virgin birth and God giving His Son. And
right.
If they are, they shouldn't be.
Pastor, you got 30 seconds to close this out. Let me just say that people talk about that, but they got things they worship that's paganism, a bunch of stuff. Parties, parties, organization, money, a concept. They got that mess going on. That's the problem we got. That's the paganism. They'll kill me.
Right.
It's like, love you, Mama D, but, hey, my tree is bright and pretty. My children got gifts around it, and we having fun with my Christmas with my grandchildren, and we'll be in church tomorrow, my great-grand. 10 seconds, Pastor. I got to go.
Well, we just thank God for this season. We thank God for all the callers. We thank those who have done great research. I ask that God continue them on their journey. But after you do all of that research, after we pull apart everything that's wrong, let us remember that there is no doubt that God gave His Son. He was born of the Virgin, and He was our Lord and Savior, and salvation comes through Him.
Right.
And that's what we know by faith. and not our own intellect. And that's where we need to trust.
Thank you
in
so
God.
Much, my pastor. You can log on tomorrow, Liberty Baptist Church of Chicago from 11 to 12, or you can come by our church. We're going to sing and stuff. We're going to celebrate the child tomorrow. If you come by today, between what time? We got a few baskets we're going to be giving away. What time?
You can come today at noon.
Okay.
And pick you up a basket. We'll be there between noon and about 2 o'clock.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
We have Christmas groceries for everyone.
And we'll be there until we got. Don't you go. Get some rest. God bless you. Thank you, my pastor. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Love you. Take
Love
care.
Love you, too. Thank y'all so much. I've enjoyed this so much. Silent Night, Holy Night. I've enjoyed this. You know, those who have not given your tax exempt, you can log on to BroadwayandTheBronzeville.com, which has got to do with the Harold Washington Culture Center. Give us some money. Give us a dime. Give us a quarter. Give us a nickel. Give us some money. I'll be hollering again tomorrow. It's tax deductible so we can keep working with these children. During the right time, I want to say Merry Christmas. Hey, James Jr., to you and your family, to all of my family all over the place. And my heart goes out to my cousin who passed, Brenda Sanders, my mama's brother's daughter. My family's grieving for that. Okay. Merry Christmas, y'all. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Can it come up? Michelle, sorry I misunderstood your question. I hope the pastor answered it. Mama D, you too. I love y'all all. You can go to my Facebook, y'all, if y'all want to give to the Harold Washington Culture Center for the end of the year. Talk of Chicago. See y'all next week. You've been having me. Thank you, Pastor. Until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman says, see you next week. Don't no reparations.
Murder in the second degree.
Not guilty on all counts for three Tacoma, Washington cops, Christopher Burbank, Matthew Collins, and Timothy Rankine. 33-year-old Manuel Ellis was beaten, hog-tied, tased. One cop even admitted kneeling on his back as Ellis said he couldn't breathe. And there was video showing parts of the brutal encounter back in 2020. With all of that resulting in community anger with the verdict.
I feel we kind of got what we expected. This is nothing that's new in America.
The jury began deliberations back on December 14th.
Mayor Brandon Johnson has had it. Furious, Texas keeps sending migrants to Chicago.
They're just dropping all people anywhere. Do you understand how raggedy and how evil that is?
The black Democrat is facing backlash from his own constituents. The city is being put in a strain, so he passed a new rule allowing police officers to impound buses carrying migrants from Texas if they did not get a permit from the city. In response, Texas started sending migrants on planes. The first flight arrived a few days ago.
The governor of Texas needs to take a look in the mirror of the chaos that he is causing for this country.
Republican governors in a handful of states are shipping migrants to self-proclaimed sanctuary cities run by Democrats, claiming they, too, are getting overrun with migrants, and the White House isn't helping.
Justice took nearly half a century.
That's what they've been waiting on for a long, long time.
Glenn Simmons has been waiting for a long, long, long time. The black man making history as the longest ever to be exonerated. Behind bars nearly 50 years in an Oklahoma prison. At 71, he practically spent his whole life locked up. His attorney considers what he missed.
He had 50 years stolen from him, the prime of his work life, when he could have been getting experiences, developing skills that was taken from him by no fault of his own.
It wasn't his fault. Picked out falsely in a lineup for murder in an Edmond liquor store. He and his co-defendant convicted, initially sentenced to death. It was later learned key evidence was not turned over to his defense. Now...